Welcome to Your Ultimate Life Podcast, where we help you break free from mediocrity and create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Get your free video series at yourultimatelife.ca.
Hello, welcome to this episode of Your Ultimate Life. In fact, welcome to Your Ultimate Life. Whether you've created it yet or not, this episode is titled Identify, Productize, Monetize, Part 1. And I said part one because I want it really clear that there's three steps to this. I talk to people every single week because my business is about meeting people. It's about meeting you. It's about serving every single person that I meet. And you know, one of the things that is so consistent about that serving is so many of the same common problems show up, the same questions, the same fears, the same doubts. Every person, me, you, everyone, is unique, absolutely, no question. But we have a set of common worries and fears. They show up again and again. Now, last night, I did my LA Talk radio show, Your Ultimate Life, same title as the podcast, and I answered 10 questions that are common, that I hear all the time, and I would encourage you to go there, latalkradio.com. And under our shows or our guests, you'll see my name and Your Ultimate Life. Listen to the one yesterday, the one that was March 5th, which was last night. It really will be good for you, you know, it will be. It'll be fun. It was a fun episode. Anyway, today, I want to talk about what is the process for creating money when you don't have a job. So there's lots of ways you can create money when you don't have a job. One way is to own a business, create a business, and, you know, be an entrepreneur. Okay. Another way is to be a gig worker, a freelancer of some kind. Now, a freelancer 20, 30 years ago, to me at least, meant, yeah, those people that are unemployable or something, and they run around, take pictures or write stuff or whatever. It was just kind of this thing out there. Today, freelancing's big business. It's growing faster and faster. There was an estimate in one of the, I think, Wall Street Journal not too long ago that it won't be very long before more than 50% of workers will be freelancers. Well, freelancing is another way of owning your own business. I mean, you get to pick your hours. The difference is when you have a business and you do a certain thing or set of things, you have products and services. When you're a freelancer, you do that also, but it's not necessarily, you know, in one place. You can put a profile up on Upwork that's kind of like a portfolio of stuff that you do. So there's a way to turn a freelancing career into a business where you highlight a portfolio of services, and now there's a platform for you to do that. Upwork has existed for a long time. It was Elance before that, and before that it was Odesk. They merged twice and changed names and whatever. But one of the new features, or fairly new, is this portfolio approach where a freelancer can highlight several services, and effectively it becomes a marketplace for the different things that you offer. So that's kind of fun too. But anyway, what I want to talk about today is how do you figure out what to offer? How do you figure that out? Identify, productize, monetize. So identifying is figuring out what the heck you have to offer. What matters to people? What are people willing to pull out their credit card and pay for you? So there's 1,000 things, more than 1,000. Maybe you write well, so you can be a freelance writer. I get asked often if I will ghostwrite people's books because I've written 19 books. Before I wrote several books, people would not have asked me to ghostwrite books. That means one of the things you can create a business with is skills that you have. If you write well, you can create a business doing that. I have a client right now who's an artist, a world-class artist. So he does commissions and all kind, not only art commissions, but other things like NFTs and, you know, those kinds of things that are digital art. And there's a whole range of services. And now, of course, he also teaches digital art and art in general, especially with new tools that are coming out like AI generated images. This image behind me is an AI generated image. that I use to illustrate part one, which is identify. You can't sell a product if you have no idea what it is. You can't sell a product if nobody wants it. So the first thing, if you want to create a business, either as a freelancer or as an entrepreneur, self-employed, you need to figure out what you offer. What do you really have to offer? Now, that might sound simple, or it might strike you as terribly complicated. Some people, when I talk to them, like I said, I talk to lots of folks every week, their first thought is, I have no idea what I can do. I have no idea what to offer. And what that means 100% of the time is that you haven't sat down and spent some time thinking about what you do, what you have done, and what you could offer in the marketplace. Or if you have, you've thought about it in a very restrictive way. So for example, one of my other clients teaches people to freelance, and he specializes in helping people get on the freelancing platforms like Upwork and freelancer.com, and there's like 150 of those. He teaches them how to identify skills and then get on the freelancing platform if they want to do gig work like that. When I said they think, most people think about things in a really narrow way, here's an example. A dentist came to him and said, you know, I can't drill and fill online. No, you can't, but you can do research and offer advice on dental hygiene, handling common dental problems, packaging and giving advice on mouth care, prosthodontics, if you have them, whatever your skill is. And quite frankly, that is sometimes more valuable than the actual motion of drilling and filling, because drilling and filling is after there's a problem and you've got to go fix the problem. What about dental health and hygiene? I know you get that at your dentist, but that's after you've gone for a cleaning and you do that twice a year. Maybe there's other mouth problems. And so there's all kinds of ways to recontextualize or rethink about a skill that you have that you thought somehow was only a hands-on skill. And with that in mind, that dentist who's a doctor of dental surgery, DDS, he realized that his medical knowledge and his specialized medical knowledge about teeth and mouth and gums and all that was a very valuable resource in terms of helping people with a healthy life, change habits, get really good dental hygiene, and solve problems. It opened up a whole new world. And sure enough, he went on online platforms and there was a market for that. He couldn't find it because he had thought too narrowly about the skill that he had. And that's just one skill. If you sit down right now, you can find 10 things you know how to do. I'll give you another example. I'll use me this time. I write. I sing. I write music. I've written poetry. I coach. I've done leadership team coaching. I speak at events. I've organized events. I've held my own events so I can help people organize, plan, and create successful events. And there's a whole bunch, like, let me think just, oh, for another moment. Oh, I've also directed orchestras and choirs and plays, so I have skill in drama. Because I write, I also edit books. I also edit, I've got an editing client right now that we're in the process of editing her book. So there's just a list, a partial list of things that I could do. Now, there's other skills that I do that I don't, like, I don't really enjoy doing very much. So I probably wouldn't offer them as a service. You know, I've painted lots. I used to work for a contract painter. I wouldn't offer painting services for any reason. Didn't enjoy it. All those other ones I listed are things that I do and have done and really enjoy, especially the music thing. I used to teach a class in recording. The Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences in Phoenix used to bring their graduates to the studio that I had for a class in mixing and, you know, sound design and that sort of stuff. I've also done session work with keyboards and synthesizers and stuff at different recording studios for other people's recording projects. So I use mine because I know them. But I've gone through this same exercise with many clients to help them identify things that they could do to create income. Now, so that's part of identify. But that's only one third of your ability to make a difference. The skills you have, many of which you may have already sold in the marketplace, that is only a third, one strand of your offering. What? You're saying, yeah, really. So let's talk about strand number two. And before we do, remember, strand number one isn't just the hands-on action. Now, if you're talking about landscaping, well, you have to be in the yard to landscape. Yeah, you do. Landscape planning and those kinds of things, all of the stuff that takes place before the actual planting and seeding is another way to think about everything, because the real skill is creating the design of something so that when it's executed, it's really good. All right. So that's still all just strand number one. Strand number two that you have that you probably haven't mined is the gifts that you have. Every person who breathes air has the ability to do things good, well, better than others, just natural gifts. So obvious ones are things like art. Like a client I have is very gifted in that. I have musical gifts. I have the ability, I've developed the ability to speak. I have the public presence. I have a powerful, energetic presence. I've been told that often. You have gifts. I don't know what yours are because you're not here with me, but I can tell you I can find them if we had a conversation, and I invite you to do that. I always do that on these podcasts, and some people take me up on it, and some people don't because they think I'm not serious. I'm dead serious. I'd love to talk with you. Your gifts are really important. I'll give you an example of that. The other day, I had a conversation with a woman from around the world. She was in Turkey, and we met on a networking application that pairs people up according to interests and that sort of thing. Kind of like dating, only it's not dating app. It's an interest app, a networking app. So she's a psychologist, and she also works in a pharmacy. So she's a psychologist that is stationed in the pharmacy to offer that kind of psychology support for people that might have, you know, be on mental health medication or, you know, are coming for that kind of support. So that's a skill that she's learned. She's gone to school. She's a degreed, I don't know which degree, but a degreed psychologist with the ability to help people. What I noticed in our conversation were some of the gifts that she has. She told me why she did it, and I asked all these questions. Why are you doing this? And she talked about her passion for helping people. And I said, well, where did that come from? And then she told me some stories about things in her life that drove her to do this. And so her gift was her ability to listen. She was a deep listener, a person who gave someone the confidence to share, because she was genuinely listening. That's a powerful gift. And I mentioned that to her. A good listener is one of the most beautiful, most coveted, most powerful gifts, because so few people do it. We're listening to respond. We're listening to defend. You know, we're listening to deflect and attack or to place blame. But we're not listening to just be there with someone. And it became evident to me in our conversation that she had the gift of real empathetic listening. And so I said to her, I know some things about you. And she said, well, what do you mean? And it wasn't stuff we talked about. And I said, I know that you love people. I know that you love to listen and you make them feel comfortable. And said a number of things related to that. And she blushed and said, well, you're making me feel embarrassed. And I told her, no, I'm honoring you powerfully because it's true. It's true. And she then acknowledged that it was and felt, you know, grateful that I'd acknowledged it. You have gifts like that. So besides obvious ones like speaking or music or art or something like that, let's explore some of the many, many, many more gifts that aren't that obvious. The gift of listening. The gift of being compassionate. Some people are just naturally more compassionate. My wife, my angel, my Joy, her name is Joy, my most beautiful, wonderful woman in the universe. She is so compassionate. Her natural gift is to be thinking about what others need, what others could use, what will make their day better, happier. We have some cats, and one of the cats that we have had some problems and wasn't eating well, so we took her to the vet, and it turns out she had to have 6 teeth pulled. Now, cats have 30 teeth, so minus 6 isn't that big of a deal, and she also had some gum infection. Well, her natural tenderness and kindness, we now have a ritual where we use a syringe to wash her gums every day, and she was on antibiotics for a couple of weeks, which we had to administer morning and night, and stuffing liquid antibiotics down a cat's throat is a whole different adventure that we eventually mastered, and so that was fun. But anyway, she came back from the vet yesterday and said, so now we don't have to do the antibiotics anymore, that the open sores on the one gum on the one side are healing, but what we have to do is we have to, twice a day in the morning, we have to take a cloth and rub the teeth, and at night we have to brush the cat's teeth. Now, I'm not a cat person. I don't dislike them, but I haven't ever been, I love cats. And she's adores them. So the idea of we have to brush cat's teeth every night, of course we're going to. We love it. We would do whatever for them. And I thought, there she is in her tenderness again. And of course I said, yes, we will. I agreed to support. But that is a natural gift for her. For me, it's something I have to do on purpose. So that's a natural gift. So that kind of compassion. Another gift is the ability to read between the lines, the ability to know what someone is feeling and thinking instead of just what they're saying. Exercising that gift means you have to take yourself completely out of the equation, because if you're listening for any benefit for you, or if you're listening for anything else, you won't hear what's really between the lines, the things that are not being said, the words in the white spaces, thinking about a book. That is a powerful gift. Another gift that I know about someone that I've seen them with is a gift to know just what to do all the time. There's a situation that is different, and suddenly and immediately this individual that I know knew, oh, let's do this. And nearly all the time they were bang on. It doesn't mean there couldn't be some other way, but they were able to immediately and quickly think of what to do to mitigate or remedy a difficult situation or something where something went sideways. That's a gift. There's hundreds of others. But you know what most of us don't do? We don't sit and think, well, what are the gifts that I have? Maybe you need to ask those you trust and love. What do you think I do naturally well? What we tend to do is downplay those. Well, because it's easy for you, you think it's worth nothing. That's not true. That is one of your most valuable things, is the stuff that you do well. It sets you apart a little bit or a lot. It just kind of comes naturally. Those gifts are divine. Those gifts are precious. Those gifts are powerful. So that kind of thing is something you can also use to identify what you have to offer in the marketplace. I'll give you another example. I spoke to another woman a few days ago, and her path had led her to be a mediator in high conflict divorces. So she had been a mediator, and now she's moved on to integrating that skill of mediation into coaching that she does for women of high conflict divorces. But the gift was her ability to take herself out of a situation and listen attentively and carefully so that she could be an effective mediator, to find where possible common ground was, to find suggestions and power. Most people can't take themselves really out of a situation in an objective way and be powerful in solving problems. Some people have a natural problem-solving gift. They can, not in conflict necessarily, but just their natural ability is to see a possible next step quickly and without drama. So there's hundreds. I don't have time to go on and list all of them, but there's hundreds of those. But you won't know what yours are unless you take some time to sit and listen to yourself. Think about what you do well, what you do naturally. Ask those who know and love you. Look at situations that you've been, not where it's only skills you've learned, but natural things that you do, and you'll be able to identify a list, at least 10 things, just like your skills are at least 10. So now you have two lists of 10 skills you know you could or have sold in the marketplace. Gifts are things that you do naturally. Now, can you imagine if you marry those, if you augment the skills you have with one or more of the gifts that you possess so that you're more valuable, more appropriate, more powerful, more insightful, quicker to solution, quicker to making things happen that need to happen. That's powerful. Now, we haven't even touched the third one, which is the most powerful. Okay? The third list is your life experience. Your life experience is that set of things that has happened around you, happened to you, for you, however you want to say it, in your life. The time your parents got divorced, the time you broke your leg and missed a school trip, the time your friend betrayed you, the time you something great happened, you were valedictorian. The set of experiences that have shaped your worldview. Okay, that is queen, king. That is most powerful because the skills you have and the gifts you have, you only apply them in the context of what you believe is possible. And those events of your life experience, the basket in which all that other has unfolded, that is the real gold. What you have learned from life is the most powerful gift you can give to anyone, period. Now, it might be tough things that have happened. Maybe you've gone through financial hardship, bankruptcy, or had someone sue you and lost everything. Or maybe you had the IRS or the other taxing agency, CRA in Canada, seize property. And you have all of a sudden, you know, some kind of thing. Maybe you've gone through a divorce or more than one. Maybe you've gone through abuse. Maybe you've gone through child custody issues. Maybe you've had a child get in trouble with the law or with drugs or some other thing. Maybe you've had a very difficult competition and you won. You prepared yourself well and you learned the value of dedication and effort and focus and perseverance. That life experience that you have, the lessons from that are your third column, and they are the most powerful. Let me give you some examples of those. I know someone who has learned resilience, and that's one of her key words, by the things that she struggled with. The latest is a couple of years ago, she had a bout of cancer. Now she has come out of that. She's back in flow, back doing things. She's an MC. She's a wonderful motivational speaker. I love her to death. She was a client a number of years ago. It's come I know her and follow her. And she's doing that, creating those things with abilities and attitudes and learning she wouldn't have without that life experience. So the way to fill that column is to think about the things that have happened in your life. Now, you can think about positive ones or negative ones. The ones that seem to stick out the most are the negative ones, the hardships, the difficulties, the smackdowns, the betrayals. It seems like those are the greatest opportunities for us to learn something and develop a skill from that life experience. You know, the, people call it the school of hard knocks. That school is only valuable if you let those events refine you. Some people have this stuff happen, right? And they get angry and bitter at the world. And they let those events ruin them. Now, maybe they were completely unjust. Wasn't fair, was wrong, somebody lied or misunderstood, you got dissed or blamed or hurt in some way. Maybe you had an accident, someone was drunk and hit you, and so you're in a wheelchair. And so your choice is to be bitter and raging the rest of your life and think that person should be tarred and feathered and a bunch of other horrible things. Or you can do what Christopher Reeve did, the guy that used to play Superman, and then he got in a horse accident and was paralyzed. And I forgot from where down, but he lost the use of most of his limbs. He had a fabulous acting career ahead of him, which of course was cut short. He chose to use his terrible thing that happened to him to be powerful, to be encouraging, to spread love and optimism and capability around the place. And you've seen them, motivational speakers that have all kinds of struggles and difficulties. They overcome them and they choose to offer encouragement. They choose to interpret life in a positive way, believe in a future possibility, help other people believe in it, and so forth. Even though something happened to them, born that way, accident, someone else's fault, whatever. So your life experiences, especially the hard ones, they can either ruin you or they can refine you. If you let them ruin you, that's a choice. Letting them refine you is more work. It's easy to get bitter, frustrated, or resigned because something got in your way, and it's easy to let it ruin you. The process of refinement is a lot more rigorous. And sometimes things ruin us until we decide to do the work and allow them to refine us. You get bitter and frustrated, negative about something, and it ruins you. Ruins your attitude, ruins you what you believe is possible, etc. And then you decide you're going to not let that define you. Whatever massive hardball from life was thrown in the mix, you decided it wasn't going to define you anymore or limit you in any way. So thinking about your life events, you can create a list of at least 10 things, life lessons that you've learned that serve you, that give you insight, information, value, ability to give encouragement and hope to others that you and you alone have that's unique because of your unique circumstance. So those are the three sources, your existing skills, your gifts, I call them divine gifts, your gifts, and then the things you've learned from your life experience. Now look, each one of those alone is powerful. If you wind them together, I call it a triple helix, and on other, it's like the DNA helix is double, let this be a triple helix. If you take the time and effort, and it doesn't happen by itself, but if you take the effort to think about your skills, examine your gifts, and learn what you've learned from your life experience, and you take those three things and weave them together, parts of them, some of this, some of that, some of that, I promise you, you will not only identify several things you could offer to the world, to those who need it. Now, everybody doesn't need the same size shoe or anything else, but you will create several gifts, offerings, products, as it were, that you could offer. Maybe it turns into a book or a coaching package or speaking or a lot of things. Maybe it even turns into creations that you do. Your creativity is exploded because of the combination of those things. So what I wanted to really reinforce today is most folks give up because this is a little difficult. It's never going to come in an Amazon box. You don't go digging it up in the yard like you go on safari. If you want to create your most powerful offering, which will allow you to make the most money because it's the most valuable. It's a combination of all three. It'll allow you to make the most money. You'll have the biggest impact, meaning you'll help the most people. And it'll be the most fun because it draws on all the different parts of your life. It doesn't come together accidentally. The lady that I talked to the other day said, you know, where she landed right now, she had gone through all these iterations and she said, now I finally, you know what I want to do when I grow up. Funny, but it was exactly the weaving of the skills, the gifts, and the life experience lessons. Now, if you want to identify what that is for you, then go through that process. If you want help identifying the things, the three columns, or weaving them together, that's part of the work that I do. Why do I offer that service? Because I have done it for me and many others. When I look at my skills, gifts, and experience, that is a thing that comes out clearly and powerfully because of my life experience. So if you want to know, people say all the time, I don't know what I'd do. You haven't done the work. If you want my help to do the work, reach out and let's talk. Because the world, some group of people in the millions are waiting for your voice. They're waiting to hear what you have to say, waiting to purchase the value that you create by weaving your triple helix, by putting together the best offer you can, whatever form that is. Now, next episode, we're going to talk about how to productize that, because identifying what it is step one. We're going to talk about how to turn it into a viable product, like the loaf of bread that you can offer for sale so that it can serve. And, you know, you're free to give it away as a volunteer also. But you still have to figure out what it is so you can talk about it and describe it and help people understand, because they're not going to know your skills and your gifts and your life experience. So you and I, we have to be able to describe it in a way that makes sense to people. I just said that to you. I am an expert at helping people find their most powerful gift, their delightful, cool, heart-centered place. I do that as well or better than anyone I have ever met. And I offer it as a service. Why? Because I'm called to do that. My commitment is to help 250 million people this year to do what? To see or understand who they really are, which is this combination, what they have to offer, and then help them use that offering to add good to the world and create that ultimate life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. You can have it. I can help. I encourage you to start and listen to the next two episodes, because then we'll talk about how to productize and how to monetize that amazing superpower. That will all help you move forward to create your ultimate life.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart in the sky and your feet on